are here. Fellowship, Rita, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. We hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, October 27th, 2015, and our studio is filled here. Three friends, actually recent friends. It was a couple weeks ago that Holly and I drove out to Covington, Indiana, and met you guys at the Covington Christian School. And then we had that delicious time at the Beef House. And so thank you for driving out this morning and being available for today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And let me, by way of introduction, for our Great News Radio listeners, we have the Brothers Jam. I guess that was a unique way for me to remember your three names. We have Joe, Andy, and Mike here in the studio. And Mike's on my right, Joe's in the middle, and Andy. So I'm getting familiar with you three, and I'm excited about what's going on November 14th. So we'll talk a little about that, some of your testimony, life journey. I feel really energized. Maybe I'm a little wired right now, but we just prayed up the program, and I'm so encouraged by your words and what we desire God to do with today's broadcast, which will probably lead into tomorrow's broadcast too, because Jason's out of town, so I can get two broadcasts out of the sharing. But God's doing some unique things at Covington Christian School and has been doing some unique things these many years. And so maybe, Mike, I'll start with you. What's your position with Covington Christian School? Why do you devote time, especially on Mondays when you're a busy vet? You have a lot of things you can do. You're a father of three children, two grandchildren. Why are you carving out time to help and assist as the chairman of the board of Covington Christian School?
Well, Mark, let me first just thank you for inviting us into your studio. We are so blessed to be able to come and share our hearts and our ministry with your listeners. But yeah, why am I involved in Covington Christian School? Let me tell you, first of all, that my children, since we've had them, have been involved in this ministry. We got them started early because it's a K-3 through grade 8 ministry currently. Boy, I think about Proverbs 9:10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And if we don't start, this is my personal belief, if we don't start our children learning from the foundation of God's holy word, they really aren't set to understand the ways of the world and to really fit into God's plan. So that's my goal, is that my children and then the children that walk through this ministry learn the foundational principles of God and how they're supposed to live in this world.
Now, we'll come back to this at the end of the broadcast because I want to make sure our listeners are aware of what's going on November 14th. But give us a snapshot of what they can anticipate and why it's going to be a great rallying point for those in Illinois and Indiana to come together to support Covington Christian School.
Sure. November 14th at 6 p.m. Indiana time, we are hosting our annual banquet. It is a fundraiser banquet, but it's going to be a free meal this time. We're offering this so that everyone who would like to come could participate. We're looking forward to it for two reasons. First of all, Mr. Mark Burns has come to talk to us as our keynote speaker, and we see and have heard, as we got to know you, your passion for the things of God and also for Israel. So we've made our theme this year at the banquet, CCS, that's Covington Christian School, celebrates Israel back to our roots. And so we are infusing in our children this whole month of November the importance of Israel to the Christian faith and to the Church of God. So we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to hearing you, Mr. Burns, share your thoughts with us on that. And then we have a great meal. We get to share dinner together over fellowship. And then just hear some testimonies from some of the students. There'll be some music. So we're looking forward to the evening.
And that's going to happen at the Beef House. People need to call to reserve reservations so you can have the right amount of meals and materials available. So who do they call or how do they get registered?
Sure. The best way to get hold of us is still by phone. And so you can call our receptionist at 765-793-2365. And we'll get your reservation then. Again, there's no cost to come, but we do want to know you're coming. That's 765-793-2365. 2365. And just tell them that you're wanting to attend the banquet. That's all you need to say.
And that's happening on Saturday, November 14th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Real easy to get to. Most all of you are familiar with I-74, and there's that Covington exit, and the Beef House is just less than a quarter mile north.
Correct.
For those that are traveling on 74. So I'm excited about it. In fact, it's stretching my prayer life whenever I get asked to speak or share. It's like, oh, Lord, what are you doing? But it was a no-brainer for me, if you will, with my daughter being in Christian school and knowing the impact it's having on her. I thought, oh, how could I not support Covington Christian School? And when I came with Holly and visited and saw the work that you're doing and met with your administrator, Judy, and many of the teachers, and I know the school is housed at the First Baptist Church in Covington, Indiana, and it was wonderful meeting the two pastors there. So how about you introducing Brother Joe and Brother Andy, and were they the ones that were involved in bringing you on to the board, or how did that all work?
I was on the board before either of our two pastors joined the church.
Okay.
I've been with the school for about 15 years now.
Okay.
We've been in ministry for 37 years, Covington Christian School. And so I kind of got in late. But shortly after I became the chairperson, maybe 3 or 4 years later, the current pastor had to move on. And so we went without for a little while, and then Pastor Joe showed up, and God just sent him to us, Joe Hummerkaus. He had been ministering and traveling a lot. We just approached him, and we knew him from the community, from Calvary Baptist Church, where he used to pastor, and invited him to come and speak and just to kind of fill in for us for a while. And, of course, that just became a permanent position. God laid it on his heart to stay with us. And what a blessing it's been under his leadership. We have just learned that Jesus is the center of all of our life and living. And so it's been great to have him. Pastor Andy Harkleroad then joined us, what's been 6 years ago now, I think, 5 or 6 years, that he joined with us as well. And what a blessing he's been as well. He's got just such a heart for the families. He's a great minister to people. He loves people and serves them well. He's just been a great companion to Pastor Joe as they co-pastor the church together.
Now, I know beforehand, you're the vet, Pastor Joe, you're the farmer, and then Pastor Andy, you're the carpenter. And so you have both unique callings because you feel yourselves as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost and serving God however you can, but you've been called into this role as pastors, even though you still have vocations and you serve in other ways, do ministry work, even in your own career. But Joe, you've been on the radio, you've created 5-minute devotional programs at another station, you're an author, I think you're going to be coming out with a book pretty soon. Take us on a little of your life journey.
Well, I had the privilege of growing up east of Georgetown, Illinois. Actually, most of our Great News Radio listeners are familiar with that. And I had a great family, and it took me to a gospel preaching church. And I think you've mentioned several times on the radio of people who had a turning point in your life. Well, I had a pastor when I was in the eighth grade that cut out my little picture, put it in his wallet, and carried it with him and claimed me for the Lord. And so at the age of 19, after God had brought me clearly to the end of myself, even though I'd been raised in church, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Went to Bible college, was called to preach. And anyway, God has so faithfully led us in a lot of different places. Not too long ago, I called this 85-year-old pastor that had my picture in his wallet, and he was very ill, and I said to him, thank you so much for carrying that picture and claiming me for the Lord. And it brought tears to my eyes to hear him say, I still have it. You know, and he has never stopped praying for me. You know, even now I'm going to soon be 70 years old, and he's now passed away. But at that time, his comment, he still had me on his prayer radar. And so I've been very blessed by the grace of God. And it was a miracle in how we actually ended up at First Baptist.
Well, for our listener maybe unfamiliar with some of the Christian terminology about coming to faith or accepting Jesus or being a follower of him, what was it in your life at the time? You sounded like at the age of 18, maybe you were sowing some wild oats, or you grew up in a Christian home. So what does that mean that you came to a point of decision to follow Jesus, or that somebody was praying for you? Because I'm thinking there's maybe some listeners that are unfamiliar with, what does it mean you're praying for somebody? I don't need your prayers, or what do you think? think you're better than me, that you have to pray for me. I've had individuals say that or imply that, like, why do we say we're praying for somebody when they don't need our prayers?
Well, I had the head knowledge because from day one, my parents took me to church. So I had the knowledge and the understanding in my mind. And occasionally at camp, and about every year I'd go to Christian camp, and I was moved in my emotions. But it wasn't until I was 19, having lived on the throne of my own life, that God brought me to the end of myself, and I called upon the Lord from my will. And I remember that day I was playing soccer for a college in Minnesota, and I was on my knees, and it was a Christian college, and the coach said, "Now, before we practice, let's pray." So on my knees, I knew that I no longer wanted to live my life as a hypocrite. Because even though I would profess Jesus, my life was totally different than that. So on my knees, and this was my prayer, I simply said, "Lord, I will do this. I will believe you." And that was on September the 8th, 1965. And my life has continued to change from that day and continues to change now 50 years later.
Now, I know you've farmed for many years, but when did you feel that unique calling to pastor, to oversee a congregation, to, you know, deliver a message each and every Sunday?
Well, at the time of my conversion, my dad was still farming the farm. And he had clearly told me there wasn't room for me and him on the farm because the farm wouldn't support two families. He made that very clear. So I went on about my business, and during that time the Lord was calling me. But the farm was always in my background. And then some years later, Dad died. And so I don't actively farm the farm right now. But from a farming background and renting the land to other farmers, I still have that and still have a heart for the farm.
Now, did you go to seminary, Bible college? What was your career path then? You're 19, you're surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to follow him. I mean, I'm kind of really going to dig deep because I think it's important for our listeners to understand your passion for Christian education, for influencing these children, being a part of the Covington Christian School and this upcoming banquet. But I want them to get to know kind of your heart. And many of our listeners can identify with agricultural industry, farming, even with the University of Illinois and all the supporting staff workers that helped the farmers.
After the Lord saved me at age 19, I had then began to develop the habit of reading my Bible every day. One August evening, I was reading my Bible and I came to Titus chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul said, "In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, and has manifested his word through preaching." And Mark, it was when I came to that phrase, "manifested his word through preaching," it was like a broken record, if you will, that just kept repeating in my mind, and I sensed the Holy Spirit was leading me. I knew nothing about it. I kind of laid it down for a little while, and every so often I'd revisit it. But the passion, the desire to preach God's word began to take hold. I knew this was a calling. So I told the Lord, true story, I said to him, "I will do this. I will go anywhere you ask. It will be first come, first serve. I will never ask for a dime. But you must be my booking agent." Because I was so new, I didn't know how to say that. And so I will tell you, for the last 50 years, the Lord has booked me. And the very fact that I'm at First Baptist is a miracle in itself. Well, then we finished. I met my wife there at Minnesota, and I finished undergrad work in that college. And then the Lord led us to Temple University in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I went to Temple Baptist Theological Seminary and graduate school. And from there, we began to pastor churches.
Now, with this being Pastor Appreciation Month, give our listeners some little tips or insights into what's the best way to serve and encourage and bless our pastors throughout this month. What are maybe some unique or special ways that have really touched you, besides just maybe the gift card or maybe babysitting the children? Or what are some unique things that can spur our listeners on to serve and bless their pastors?
I never dreamed in my whole life that I'd be able to answer this question over radio. That was a perfect question. So here's the answer that I've always wanted to tell folks. The best way, and I think Andy could concur with this or anybody else, the best way to encourage me is to walk up to the pastor and say to him, "This is how your message changed my life, and I'm going to make this change because of what I've heard." Because that's what we live for.
Right.
the gift cards are nice and the babysitting's nice and all those things. But we're in it for changed lives. Yeah. We believe that the living Word of God, Jesus, and the written Word of God, the Bible, are supernatural, and they are our only hope to transform people for salvation and prepare them for eternity and bring glory to God. So we want to hear about life change.
Mm-hmm. How they've applied an aspect or a truth that you've prayed over, that you've delivered on a Sunday through your message, and then they kind of say, this is how it's touched me, this is how I'm going to move forward.
Yes, but even more, it's not about my message. Right. It's about how the Word of God and the Spirit of God showed them the Son of God so mm-hmm. that then they will be willing to be changed by the Spirit of God for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And so that's what thrills us.
Mm-hmm. Now, to your right is a co-pastor mm-hmm. that you knew for many years, and actually I think you were very instrumental in calling him or trying to persuade him to come on board and be a part of the staff. So how about you introducing Andy to our Great News Radio listeners?
Well, this is Andy Harkleroad, and Brother Andy and I were on a construction project in our former church, and that's how we met. And we were together about 30 days, and then he took off for Bible college at age 34. And so then we had kindred spirits through that project, and we stayed in touch from a distance. When the Lord led us to First Baptist, knowing the situation there, we just felt like two are better than one, and a threefold yoke's not quickly broken. And so that's why this whole threesome here is such a blessing to me. But I suggested to the men that we invite Andy to come and be our co-pastor. Mm-hmm. And they were thrilled because some of those deacons at that time were actually in his youth group mm-hmm. when he was at another church in the area back in Covington. And so he came and took a major cut in pay just to come and be with us. And we feel like God has really partnered us up and gives us such a oneness of heart. And we serve side by side almost seamlessly because we both think identically about Christ-centered ministry. So it's my joy to introduce him and have him on board with us.
So Andy, at 34 years of age, to be called to go to Bible college or to feel that calling or to follow through on those intentions, I'm sure there is a story to that story. So I know we have about 6 or so minutes. Let's get a little snapshot into your life, and then we'll recap why people need to write down November 14th on their calendar and to be a part of the special banquet for Covington Christian School. But a little of your own story.
Thank you, Mark. Good to be here. I was raised in a Christian home, and when I was 4 years old, I asked the Lord to save me. When I was 6 years old, I ran in the house. Mom, how do we know we're right? I don't know what caused that turmoil in my soul. So she prayed with me again, and as I'm cruising through life and not giving a whole lot of thought, I just felt safe because I had asked the Lord to save me, and I believe he did save me at one of those ages. And I really had Christ in my mind and in my heart. But when I was 14 years old, I started flirting with sin, and I knew it. It was pornography, and the Lord really got a hold of my heart and said, Harkleroad, my children don't act that way. So I said, I know, this is just for now. And then he said, no, I'm warning you. So when I was 14 years old, he arranged for me to be shot and spend about 30 days in the hospital. So that was a perfect time in my life that I had to square up with God and say, you are Lord of my life, not just Savior of my life. And that was a life-changing moment. So from that time on, it wasn't too bad. But then when I was 17, I decided to try something else. So I started smoking left-handed cigarettes, and same thing. The Holy Spirit of God says, Harkleroad, we've had this talk, and my children don't act like this.
Wait, left-handed cigarettes. No, that's a new term for me.
Marijuana.
Okay. In case maybe somebody is unfamiliar with that terminology also. Okay, so
fair enough.
Light drugs, if you will.
Yep. And the Holy Spirit just gripped my heart, not unlike when I was 14, and said, my children don't act like this. So I said, this is just for now, and I just want, it was curiosity that killed this cat. So I put it off and put it off, and then finally, it didn't last too long, a couple months, and our gracious Lord arranged for me to fall three stories at work and back to the hospital. I listen really well in the hospital. So that is some of the moments in my life from salvation to understanding Lordship and making Him Lord. And I am so thankful for those moments. I still have daily pain that's a reminder, but that's okay. It's a reminder of God's grace. He could have just eliminated me, and I wouldn't have blamed Him.
Well, we're going to come back to part of that story, because I have some questions about what your understanding was at the age of four, because maybe some of our listeners can identify with that, or the point at age six, how do we know we are right? What does that mean? So we'll come back to that. We're going to keep all three of you in the studio for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and I want to point out to our Great News Radio listeners, if you missed the beginning of this broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Under our archive programs link, there's a great event that we'd love for you to attend. It's happening on Saturday, November 14th at the Beef House. It's a banquet fundraiser for the Covington Christian School, and all three of the special guests, Joe, Andy, and Mike, are here to talk about the great work that God's doing through Covington Christian School, and I've asked them to share some of their testimony and why they're pouring so much of their energy and heart and effort into this great school. And so we'd love for you to register and get involved. There will be a great meal at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Again, like I mentioned, it's on Saturday, November 14th. But call right away so we can make arrangements and have the proper fix-ins. You know about those great meals at the Beef House and those rolls, all-you-can-eat rolls. And so that's happening on the 14th. But you need to call 765-793-2365. That's 765-793-2365. And guys, thank you for sharing, being transparent, and then the great work that you're doing through the Covington Christian School and also at the First Baptist Church of Covington as you two co-pastor, and Mike, as you have that supporting role with the Covington Christian School as their chairman of the board. And so stay with me, and we'll continue this conversation tomorrow. We're going to begin with you, Andy, just sharing a little more of what happened at that age of four and six, that recognition of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then the progression that most of us go through when we make poor choices, live for ourselves, continue to be self-centered, even though we know Jesus is Lord and Savior, not surrendering all of our lives to Him. So we'll begin right where we left off. Thanks for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you. Good to be here, Mark.
And be sure to tune in at the same time tomorrow. Remember, Mark and Friends re-airs in the evening at 7:32 p.m. That's 8:32 for our great Indiana listeners. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.